A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 492. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Midwinter of the Spirit. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are continuing our look at an ITV show from 2015. It has three episodes, about 50 minutes each, that are one serialized story about a young vicar who gets caught up in some occult investigations. And this brings the character of Merrily Watkins, the young vicar in question, to the screen. She is the popular protagonist from a series of 15 novels.
And we should give a content note about Midwinter of the Spirit, just to say that this is an intense show. It's a show that deals with some occult and supernatural themes, and it is a show that refers to, fairly specifically, child abuse in places. So be warned and advised, this might not be a show for everybody.
Yes, it is pretty intense and gets into lots of abusive things and some strong subject matter, to put it mildly.
So, last time we discussed the murder of a man called Paul Sayer, who the police find out was interested in Satanism. There's an intense scene where they go to his house and find some of the stuff that he's been drawing on his walls and show Merrily Watkins that. Of course, he was strung up in a sort of crucifixion in the woods, possibly as a punishment for his own beliefs. Then there's the strange and troubling legacy of a man called Denzel Joy. His was the bedside that Merrily Watkins was called to in the hospital to administer sort of last sacraments to as he lay dying, but who then may have infected her with some sort of malign presence. He may still be a malign presence. He occasionally seems to appear to Merrily Watkins in sort of ghostly visions, or maybe she's just dreaming. It's not entirely clear, but there's a lot of suspicious dark stuff for Merrily.
Yes, and we also have the desecration of a small local church, and then the tragic death of Canon Dobbs, only adding to the burdens that Merrily Watkins is carrying. And of course, this is happening while Merrily's daughter Jane is receiving some rather strange advice from a woman who claims to be a psychic.
As we said last time, Brian, a lot of stuff happening in these three episodes.
Yes, some of it is a little bizarre for sure.
Now, let's just pause a moment to think about occult investigation or supernatural investigation shows that we've covered. Not too long ago, Brian, we talked about the Omega Factor on Big Finish Audios. The original TV show and then the Big Finish version, possibly, we're going to say up front, one of the best of this sort of genre that we've covered.
I would say so, yeah. And in the audio version, I think they pushed the investigation angle of it a little bit further too. So some interesting stuff there for sure.
And again, not too long ago, we discussed The Living and the Dead, which was an interesting mixture of genre in the horror field. I mean, about, you know, the haunted house and the conflict between the old and the new, but also had this sort of episodic occult or supernatural investigation feel to it, with a slightly different case in each episode. And when we talked about that, I wondered why we couldn't have a sort of regular spooky investigation show on British television that seems to last more than one series. I still don't know the answer to that, but I bring it up once again, Brian.
Yeah, the living and the dead sort of started out with the weekly investigations, which were really good, and it moved into a more ongoing story later that was also quite good. But it would have been nice to have a little bit more of that earlier version of it.
Indeed. Now, we'll mention or name check a few other shows. Ace of Wands sort of did that back in the 70s. Of course, we've done Randall and Hopkirk Deceased and talked about the remake as well. That sort of did it, although I suppose that's a slightly different angle. In that case, the ghost is doing the investigations, Brian, rather than the other way around.
That's right.
And I suppose if we talk about a paranormal investigation show, Ghost Watch, which we talked about in the last episode because of Stephen Volk's involvement here. So Ghost Watch probably did it better than any other show, possibly apart from the Omega Factor. Certainly scared the life out of Britain when it was shown on BBC.
Possibly a very different thing. That was mimicking a sort of live, quote unquote, real investigation. So that was quite different, but yeah, did some interesting things. We also remember the two detectives in Stephen Moffat's Jekyll, two women played by Mira Sial and Fenella Woolgar. And yeah, I think we happily could have watched a paranormal investigation series with the two of them starring. That could have been quite fun. But the little bit of them we got in Jekyll was good.
Yes, we do occasionally come across these pairings of what might seem at first to be sort of minor or lesser characters in a show. And you think, well, where's their spin-off series? I'd watch that. And that's certainly that couple from Jekyll. I certainly would have watched that show.
Yes, for sure.
Are there any other shows that should be on our radar for future coverage? Please let us know. And is there a successful example of a TV, British television, sort of supernatural investigation show that's lasted? If there's one I'm missing, please get in touch. And of course, we do wonder why they fail, why they don't last. Maybe we'll come back to that in a few moments when we get into our own views about Midwinter of the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. So getting back to the character of Merrily Watkins, she seems to be sort of a much-loved character in the books who's very popular, perhaps because of her flaws and her own struggles with her faith and so on.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, really, because, you know, certainly on screen, she has a lot of flaws. She's got some very dodgy parenting going on of her teenage daughter. She's got this bad relationship with her teenage daughter. Merrily herself, she drinks, she smokes, she seems to be possibly misusing prescription medication at times, it would seem. She has some issues, Brian.
She does. And I think Anna Maxwell Martin does a great job at trying to make all of this feel real. But at the same time, it does feel a bit much.
Yeah, intense.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that she's very good as an exorcist either. So as interesting as she is, it's perhaps a little bit hard to latch on to her sometimes. And I don't know if people find that in the books or not.
Yeah, we'd be fascinated to hear from somebody who's read all the books and can tell us a little bit about her character progression in the series. As we said last time, we don't really get that in television because we've only got these three episodes and no sequels. Maybe it's a harder sell for television than it is in the books. Please let us know. As you said last time, Brian, we have questions about Merrily Watkins and how well she succeeds on the written page.
Yes. So on that thought, I think we should get into some of our own thoughts more than we already have. So, Eamon, what did you like about Midwinter of the Spirit?
Well, let's say up front that this show looks great and it sounds great and the visual effects effects are great. I particularly liked the fact that it's actually filmed in Hereford. It's cold and slightly wintry looking. The cathedral exteriors and then Chester Cathedral interiors, I think all of that looks good. So in terms of the look and feel and sound of this show, I liked that, Brian. What about yourself?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's a beautiful production. I would add that I like the performances here, especially from Anna Maxwell Martin. She takes this quite complex character that could be sort of a mess of different things and makes her feel quite real. And I like that.
I do like, Brian, that we've now got a second tick for you from the Bletchley Circle. I think there's five actresses we looked up, and we have now, you've ticked off two of them in British Invaders shows so far, I believe.
Yes, is Julie Graham the other one?
Julie Graham is the other one. It was in the Survivors remake, I believe.
Yes, that's something else for you to count, Eamon. So more lists.
More lists.
Fans always like to have, right?
Yeah, Rachel Sterling, Sophie Rundle, and Hattie Morahan, I've just looked up, are the other three actresses who I think we've still to get to in British Invaders shows. But yeah, two out of the five of the Bletchley Circle you've now got, Brian.
Very nice.
Now, I would agree that the cast are all pretty good. Anna Maxwell Martin is very good. I will say that there's a couple of big set pieces with sort of, you know, supernatural features. I think particularly for the cast and crew, when they get to string somebody up in the woods, that must have been a strange day when you go home from work and say, oh yeah, today we crucified somebody for a TV show. But it does look pretty impressive on screen. I'll say that, Brian.
Yeah, and they were good at managing the tone, especially early in this. But when you had to have sort of these darker, intense things happening, the tone of the show, it worked with that. They controlled that very nicely, I thought.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to say in the positives column before we start to deal about a few more problems?
I think we should move to the negative side.
Yeah. What we did have a few problems with this show, Brian. How would you want to start us off?
Yeah, so as good as the production and the performances were, it was a story and perhaps a genre that I didn't really want to see. And I sort of struggled with it as it went on through these exorcism-related things and through very heavy church-related things.
Yes, I mean, as we've said, it's grim subject matter in a way. It's quite heavy. It's not a show for everyone. We both, I think, struggled a bit as this goes on with just like the darkness of it all in a way. And I don't mean the lighting, I mean the sort of themes. The writing of the show, we haven't read the books, so we don't really know the source material. But how did you find the writing for these three episodes?
I was not a big fan of it, and it was more than just the dark themes. I quite happily watch things with dark themes, but I want something with a story or ideas that I find compelling, and this just wasn't compelling for me.
And did you struggle with the characters in this show, and particularly in finding any of them sort of like likable or engaging?
Somewhat. I don't think I need likable characters quite as much as you do, but I did find that it, you know, went on with these characters and they weren't as engaging as I wanted them to be.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I do like a likable character to engage with. And I found Merrily Watkins particularly a tough sell. Perhaps the social worker Lowell Robinson is the most engaging character for me. But yeah, Merrily Watkins is a, let's say she's an interesting character. I would be fascinated to know where her character goes in the later novels. I may have to pick up a later book in the series and read that and see. And if people have a particular favourite, they can let me know and I'll perhaps pick it up when I'm on holiday next month. Yeah, interesting. But yes, I did struggle with the likability or lack of in the characters in this show.
Yeah, I think Anna Maxwell Martin did a great job with this, with that lead character. And I think we had an interesting character, but we needed to have a different kind of engagement there or something more compelling. Because as it was, as the show went on, I sort of struggled with it more, and it was not particularly a show that I enjoyed.
Okay, and it also has the problem that it only gets the one series of three episodes. We don't get an ongoing. We don't get Riley Watkins returning to our screen and learn about how she gets on when she gets a bit better at her deliverance ministry. And I again wonder this open-ended question that we can't answer, Brian, but I do wonder why we can't get a sort of supernatural investigation show that succeeds on modern British television. We'll perhaps come back to that theme in the future, I guess.
Maybe so, yeah. So should we move to our recommendations?
Yes.
Why don't you start this one, Eamon?
Okay, well, it is three episodes. It's available free to stream on ITVX currently here in the UK. But even with that, I'm still not going to recommend Midwinter of the Spirit. I could not like this show, I'm afraid. I sort of wanted to, but I could not like this show. I didn't like the character of Merrily Watkins. I do want somebody to tell me what happens to her in the books, and in particular, which of the books I should read. But no, I'm not going to recommend this show. And I suspect, as I throw it back across the pond to you, Brian, that possibly might be on similar as well.
Yes, I will not recommend Midwinter of the Spirit. I struggled to get through this one a bit. And yeah, there are some interesting ideas, but that's not enough. And I didn't find it compelling. And yeah, it's not one that I could enjoy.
Okay. But if you're familiar with Merrily Watkins from the books, please, as we've said many a time, get in touch and let us know.
Please tell us why we're wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
So, in summary, Midwinter of the Spirit introduces us to a young vicar called Merrily Watkins, and she is a deliverance minister who is effectively learning how to do exorcisms and learning about the supernatural, and she gets pulled into this police investigation, and we get into this complex web of crime and Satanism and things related to religion and the church. And this will lead us to a conclusion involving all sorts of factors.
It's a tough show. Intense.
Yes.
But come back next time. We're probably on more fun territory. We are going to tackle a big show. We're going to tackle a show that we've been asked about a couple of times. It's finally time for us to talk about dinosaurs, and in particular, ITV's Primeval. That's what we're coming back to next time, Brian. Should be fun.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to that one because it is indeed a fun show. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at British Invader. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there and join in on some of the conversations. And you can also follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, find us on the socials and tell us about Merrily Watkins and tell us why we're wrong about this TV show. And please find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com, the Voice of Geeks for gaming content, for Twitch streaming, and for podcasts. Tell them Brian and Eamon said hello at VogueNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.